you stopped recently to ask yourself the question exactly what it is you want out of life? And at this point in time, have you succeeded so far? Welcome to Night Sounds. I'm Bill Pierce. We begin our program now and then asking questions somewhat like those about what we're after in life. Have we found it? What kinds of stressors are we facing? Are we coping? Is there something you're up against that's not working? Is your ladder leaning against the wrong wall? Those kinds of questions can be disturbing. But it's good sometimes to take a reading on where we are. Take an inventory of what we've gathered and accumulated en route. So what are we pursuing? Money? Fame? Success of some sort? How about status? Exactly where your niche is in life. What level are you at this point? Tonight's program I've subtitled The Status Seekers. And the past week or so, I've received a book that was lying on my desk when I came in my office in the morning. This happens quite a number of times. I see these books and I don't know where they come from. Now and then a listener will send one in and autograph it, or an author, maybe a listener to Night Sounds. And we quote so many people, so many good writers out there, and those who can express themselves, who have something to say, who've lived long enough to learn a few lessons and pass them on to the rest of us. Well, I saw a book that someone left on my desk, and it was titled A 10-Week Journey to Living in Absolute Freedom, by Donna Parto, whom we've quoted before on this program, but not in book form. She's written articles in various magazines now and then. But it sort of puts together her pursuit in life and what she was after, the various wrong turns she took, the lessons learned, getting back on the right route, asking directions, and so on. Well, I was somewhat intrigued by one of the captions to a chapter in here that read, Sold to the Relentless Pursuit of Status. And she begins by quoting a verse from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4, which reads, But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. So tonight's program, as that key phrase and verse would point out, is about status seeking. And I'm going to quote quite freely from this book because I think she has a lot to say to many of us who may have gone the same route or are in the midst of it currently. She said it's amazing how different people can do the exact same thing for different reasons. For instance, yesterday, I just happened to remember how my husband and I were both on the fast train to the city. He was on the train in pursuit of financial security. There was something else I wanted, more powerful, even more dangerous, than the love of money. That was pride, or to use the more polite term, the desire for status. She said, I spent the entire 1980s in the relentless pursuit of status. Maybe it was an 80s thing. And she said, I don't meet as many women consumed with climbing the corporate ladder as I once did. Then again, maybe that's just because I now live in a podunk town in the middle of nowhere. The only ladders to climb around here are at the feed store. on the chance that there are still women out there expending themselves on the elusive goal of having it all. For what it's worth, I offer my experience as a word of warning. Throughout the early years of my illustrious corporate career, I bore the title secretary. No offense intended to secretaries, but to me, it was a badge of humiliation. I, Donna Parto, who dreamed of attending Harvard my whole life, and who bragged to everyone about my dream. I, who had attended a ritzy Ivy League university, didn't graduate, just attended. I, who was going to be a famous corporate lawyer, sat in the midst of the go-go 80s, earning $5 an hour, while my bosses, few of whom worked harder than I, raked in six figures. I literally worked like a slave. Maybe I've shared previously that my husband, who is Iranian, would not let me leave the house unsupervised. However, since he was desperate for financial security and hadn't been able to achieve it on his own, he let me go to work. My husband would drop me off in the morning before going to his office, which was usually an hour away. He'd work 8 to 10 hours, then pick me up at the end of the day. So, right off the bat, I was working an extra 2 to 3 hours a day, every day. If your math is better than mine, you'd already figured out that I was averaging 60 hours per week. Since I wasn't allowed to go anywhere other than the office, and since I had no other way of boosting my non-existent self-esteem, I worked. And I worked. And when I work, look out. I am a one-woman working machine. I worked frantically, desperately, hoping that someone would notice my drive, my talent, my commitment, and honor me with a new title. A prestigious title. I wanted to attend meetings with important people. I wanted status. I wanted a business card. I wanted a corner office, a company car. I wasn't allowed to drive, so what was I thinking? Ironically, the more I sought it, the more it eluded me. And rather than noticing what a rare gem of an employee I was, most of my coworkers just thought I was a nut, a hyperactive, annoying nut at that. Eventually, God gave me a small taste of what I had yearned for. Gradually, rung by rung, I made my way up the corporate ladder. Finally, I was promoted to the prestigious investment banking department, where I sat in a huge, cushy chair at a fabulous mahogany desk with brass fixtures. They printed my name on a business card with my fancy title emblazoned on it, Investment Banking Representative. My new boss believed in me and wanted to send me out to win new customers. But I wasn't allowed out, of course. I didn't know how to tell my boss that. My first business trip was a trip, all right. They sent me to the bank's corporate headquarters in Pittsburgh. When I got to the hotel, guess who was waiting for me? My husband. He couldn't afford a plane ticket, so he spent all day riding the train. Ironically, the more freedom I won in the workplace, the tighter became my bondage at home. Then came the clincher. My boss promoted me again, and a company car came with a new position. "But I don't know how to drive," I protested. "I'm afraid to drive." I didn't have the guts to tell him I wasn't allowed to drive. No one to put up with nonsense, he simply declared, "You will drive, or I'll fire you." So I learned to drive. I took clients to fancy restaurants and did the round of prestigious corporate events. It wasn't all I thought it to be. Deep inside, I still felt like nothing, like I'd never be anyone important. Finally realized it wasn't the title, it was me. About the time the axe fell, our entire department was eliminated and told to clear out within the hour. My enslavement to corporate culture ended abruptly. But I was still enslaved to my yearning for status. And now I realize my marriage and my story are extreme. Nonetheless, I challenge you to examine your own heart. Is it possible that you've been living your life in the relentless pursuit of status? I'm going to leave the narrative right there for a moment as we turn to our first music. Any of you who've joined us in the past few moments, I'm reading a bit of the life of a very well-known authoress named Donna Parto, who's giving us insight into some of the things she faced in seeking status and personal advancement in her life, all surrounding the basic word of pride, of which we are all a part in our own essence, to one degree or another. I'm going to bring out a one-word title now, trust. This is the key word in our first music and our second selection, too. Calling on Cynthia Clawson and Wayne Watson, two contemporary artists, to sing this song of trust for us. And as perhaps you have in your life been seeking some sort of self-realization, self-advancement or aggrandizement, maybe you are the center of your life and everything revolves around you as the breadwinner, the husband, the wife, or whatever it might be, and you're off on the wrong tangent. The center of your life is not true. If Jesus Christ is at the center of your life, the circumference will take care of itself. Let's just settle on that word trust for a moment. Trusting whose heart, whose yearning, your own, mine, or... Let's take a listen.
All things work for our good, though sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. Too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart.
Trust his
yeah.
Understand, trust his heart. Soloists and duettists Cynthia Clausen and Wayne Watson. In our program tonight, subtitled Status Seekers. This is Night Sounds. I'm Bill Pierce with you in late evening and early morning hours, whenever the local radio station managers elect to put us on the air. Whenever it is and however we find you, thank you for joining us and for staying with us, if that's the case. We'll be going off the air in a few minutes, and I want to leave you with something that you can hold in your hand and perhaps use between programs. Perhaps you'd like to have a catalog of the entire field of ministries. Our address, Night Sounds, Wheaton, Illinois, 60189. Tonight's program, Status Seekers. I'd like to read from another author here who's had a lot of experience in life. This one is entitled Sawdust Desires. It's really a question to God and to herself and anyone who would listen. She writes, "How long will I love what is worthless? Why do I revel in shining baubles to adorn my tree of life? Tinsel, garlands, and twinkling lights on false plastic branches. Why does it give me pleasure to possess waxen fruit with imitation shellacked colors, without fragrance, lacking taste, devoid of nourishment, cold to the touch? Within my reach is reality, to exchange for artificiality, the genuine for the counterfeit, a replacement for my sensuality. Precious and worthy is his pearl of great price, bright and morning star, giver of true life, true vine to produce true fruit in me, fairer by far than all my sawdust desires." And those verses are based on Psalm chapter 4, verse 2, which reads, "O sons of men, how long will you love what is worthless?" Our title tonight on Night Sounds, Status Seekers. Quoting Donna Parto, she said, "I challenge you to examine your own heart. Is it possible that you've been living your life in the relentless pursuit of status? Is there a title, a badge of honor, that you're desperate to earn? Do you feel an inordinate need to justify your existence, to prove that you're worthwhile as a human being, that you know things, you can do things, that you count for something?" She said, "I meet many young mothers who struggle with the title stay-at-home mom. They feel like they need a job outside the home to feel important. or they volunteer for committees, or coach the girls' softball team, anything that will give them a sense of significance. Different people may do the same things for different reasons. Maybe it's an economic one. If you're active outside your home for the right reasons, and you can keep first things first, that's wonderful. However, if you're running away from the routine tasks of motherhood in search of status, you have sold yourself cheap. Living in slavery, Christ wants to set you free. And I think we can expand that whole thought to any of us, men or women. What kind of status are we seeking? What's going to happen to our degrees and our plaudits and our rewards? I was just pointing out to some guests who came into my office this afternoon before this program was recorded. They were asking about some of the hangings on the wall. And, well, this one's that and this one's over there. They gave me this for that. But what does it matter when it all falls into dust someday? What will we have to show God, who created us for himself, to do his work his way? I'll leave that with you and with myself here as we turn to our next music. This is a familiar old song. I think many of you will know and sing along, but let's think of the words once again.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no trust.
I'm going to bring that song down and out here while I quote for you another old hymn as we close our program, watching the clock here. It's a song of prayer. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he, faithful, will remain. Be still, my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. I'm going to play a very exciting rendition of this now by a big band. It sounds sort of like a contradiction to the song and to the mood and everything, but I think that you'll enjoy this. Ralph Carmichael and the big band in a live concert in a college out in California. The band starting very softly, and then they pick up the tempo and get into a terrific variation. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Ralph Carmichael and the Big Band, a live concert out in California. Playing our closing song tonight in a rather exciting fashion, Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on your side. Let's remember that as we take our leave tonight. Thank you for being with me. Let's not be status seekers, but seek what God's will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And he will direct that course and that accumulation of things, whatever they may be. Love to hear from you. If we can pray with you and for you, send materials, a catalog, our mailing address, Night Sounds, Wheaton, Illinois, 60189. God bless you. Keep you on his track, seeking his status. Till next we meet, a great day tomorrow to you, and a peaceful good night.